Welcome to the Trinity Sermons podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. Today, Rob will be continuing our sermon series called Around the Table, and we're going to be exploring one of Jesus's more miraculous meals today. So I hope you enjoy.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord.
Yeah, so we are at the beginning of a teaching series called Around the Table. We're looking at the different meals that Jesus ate with people throughout the Gospels and seeing what we can learn from them. And while we've been doing this, we've actually also asked you, would you please send us some of the pictures that you have of the meals you're eating together with people in your life, people in your family, or people in your church? And some of you have already started to send those pictures in. So for example, the Druin family sent this picture in of their family eating a lovely meal in Italy, of all places, this past summer. That looks absolutely fantastic. We also got a picture sent to us from Bob Clay's with his family. I believe this was a birthday dinner that was being shared. Actually, we got some pictures from Zion, because last week when the youth were downstairs doing their junior youth activities, they were eating Timbits, and so they sent some pictures along of them enjoying Timbits. And of course, whenever food is mentioned here at Trinity, Jordan and Jesse have to get involved, and they have to send some pictures along. These two, you know, wherever there's food, you're going to find these guys, you know. And you guys may not know this, but historians have found that, you know, even Jesus took a selfie during the Last Supper, and it has since been unearthed. But no, in all seriousness, we definitely want to hear from you. So can you send us your photos? Send us your photos. Send them to eattogether@trinitystreetsville.org, and we'll be featuring some of those in our upcoming services. You see, when you read the Bible, one of the things you will notice about the meals that Jesus ate with people, that even though they were so transformative, they were totally ordinary meals. There was almost nothing special about them. In fact, remember last week when we looked at the story of Jesus eating with Levi, the tax collector? It changed his life, and yet there was nothing miraculous about the meal. There was nothing supernatural about the meal. It was just an ordinary meal. And I think that the teaching there for us is to realize that every day you will eat meals. Every week you will eat several very, very ordinary meals. But your ordinary meals can also be completely transformative depending on who you invite to your table. Because you see, for Jesus, meals were about way more than food. It was at meals where barriers were broken down, where people found hope, where people found healing, where people found wholeness in their lives. You see, people thought the kingdom of God was going to come into the world through might and power. But nobody thought the kingdom of God was going to come into the world at a booth at the local Tim Hortons. Nobody thought it was going to come around a pizza box in your basement apartment when you got together with a friend. Nobody expected the kingdom of God to break in around some coffee and banana bread in the office break room, right? But that's how it worked. ordinary meals. Although today we're going to talk about an absolutely extraordinary meal. Right? This is possibly the most famous meal in all the Gospels, with the exception of the Last Supper. And it is, of course, the feeding of the 5,000. This was a miraculous meal. And I say it was one of the most famous. Why? Because it's recorded in all four Gospels. Now you might say, well, Rob, isn't everything recorded in all four Gospels? Don't they all tell us the same thing? That's not actually true. There's lots of duplication sometimes between a couple Gospels or three Gospels, but these Gospel writers had different sources. They knew different people. They talked to different crowds. And so, yeah, the Gospels are all different. And yet, this story ends up in all four of those Gospels. And that means that this meal, understanding this meal, I think, is uber important for us to understand. Everyone knew about it. Everyone wrote about it. Why was that? It was because there is a question that we all need to figure out in life. Sorry, my fancy clicker is also double-clicking. And that is this question. How does God turn a little into a lot? How does God turn a little into a lot? That's an important question that many of us, all of us actually, at some point in our life are going to need to know the answer to. Because you're going to come to a time in your life where you need God to turn a little bit of something into a whole lot of something. You're going to need God to turn a little bit of strength that you have into a whole lot of energy. You're going to need God to turn just a little bit of faith into a whole lot of hope. You're going to need God to turn just a little opportunity into a great big opportunity. So whether it's money or whether it's health or whether it's patience or whether it's courage or whatever it is, there are some things in life that we have just a little bit of. We have just a wee little bit of, and we need God to give us more. How does God turn a little into a lot? The church, Trinity Streetsville, also needs to know the answer to this question, because there are many times when we hear at Trinity, we have just a little bit of resources, but we need to turn it into more. We have just a little bit of vision, but we need to turn it into more. Today is our ministry fair Sunday. We'll say more about that later, but we need to learn how to turn a little bit of people power into a whole lot of people power here at Trinity. How does God turn a little into a lot? Well, the meal that we are going to look at today answers this question, I believe. And remember this, Jesus never did these miracles just to show off. He didn't do it just as a raw demonstration of his power. Hey, everybody, look at me. No, he did these miracles to teach us something. And chances are, if he's been recorded doing this miracle four times, then there's really something important we need to learn here. So, how do we turn a little into a lot? I've even given you some teaching notes, some sermon notes, if you want to follow along, because I think there's something really important we all need to remember today. But here is the first step. If you want to turn a little into a lot, the very first thing you need to do is you need to admit your need. Right? You have to admit that you have a problem. And it is very difficult for many of us to admit that we have a problem, because we see it as a sign of weakness. We see it as a sign of failure to say, I've got a problem here. And yet, it's so clear from this story that that is the very first step toward witnessing a miracle. In our reading this morning, it's very clear what the problem is. There's a lot of writing up there, but the crowds have followed Jesus out to a remote place. It is getting late in the day, and there is no food, and there is no McDonald's within 20 miles of where they were, and the disciples have a real need. They have a real problem, and they actually admit that need. They confess that need to Jesus. So, before we go any further, let me just ask you this. What is the need that you have come here with this morning? What is the problem in your own life? Many of us face problems, but actually we know how to solve those problems. We do. But there are other problems we don't know how to solve. So maybe you're facing a financial problem and you actually know how to solve it. You say, Rob, I just have to cut up my credit cards because I'm overspending. I just need the strength to do it. But then there might be other financial problems that you're facing that you just do not know where to go from here. You're like, you know, the landlord just raised the rent, my car broke down, and I lost my job. I do not know what to do. Or take health for an example. You might have a health problem and you know exactly what it is you need to do, right? You need to quit smoking. You need to quit drinking so much. You know what it is you need to do. You just need the strength to do it. But there are other problems that we may face that we actually just do not know, and there is nothing that we can do about it. The doctor called and told you some very distressing news, and there's nothing you can do about it. It is completely out of your hands. You don't have one thing to do about it. It's beyond your ability. So there are some problems we know how to solve, but we just need the strength. There are other problems that we don't even know where to start. But for either of these problems, the first step is for us to admit that need to God. Whatever your problem is, the first step is to say, God, I got a problem. God, I need some help. Because this is the really good news. The really good news is that every miracle begins with a problem. If you don't have a problem in your life, you don't need a miracle. If you don't have a need in your life, then you don't need God. But whatever you're facing, a spiritual, a physical, a financial, a relationship problem, in order for God to turn a little bit into a lot, and in order for God to give you what you need to overcome that problem, we have to admit that need. God, I've got a problem. Jesus, I need some help. I want to say that, again, here at Trinity, we're a church, and we also have needs. Right? We have spiritual needs, physical needs, resource needs. We have financial needs. There are classes here at Trinity that need to be taught. There are people here at Trinity that need to be welcomed. There are young people here at Trinity that need to be mentored, meals that need to be served. There are ministries that need to be resourced. That's what today's ministry fair is all about. Not just to celebrate all the stuff that God is doing here, but to admit to God and to admit to you. These are our needs. These are the needs we have. And that is okay, because God can turn a little bit into a lot when we take that first step and we admit we have needs in our lives. That's the first step. But here's the second step. The second step after we have admitted that we have a need is to then take some responsibility for that need. I find it very interesting in this story that we just read that this miraculous meal, Jesus does not intervene. Jesus does not solve the problem until the disciples have gotten concerned about the problem. Until the disciples have started to take some responsibility for it. I mean, here's what I mean. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and they said, this is a remote place. It's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages to buy themselves some food. Jesus knew without a doubt there was going to be a food problem, right? Long before anybody else ever recognized there was going to be a problem, Jesus knew, but he did nothing until his disciples got concerned. And it's only when they realized there was a problem, it's only when they started accepting some responsibility and saying, someone's got to do something about this, that Jesus began to act. I think there is a lot of truth to this statement. I think that God saw your marriage problems long before you acknowledged that they were there. He was waiting for you to take some initiative, to get concerned, and to take some responsibility for that. God knew your health problems long before you did, but he's waiting for you, waiting on you to take some initiative, to take some responsibility. Look at how Jesus invites his disciples to take responsibility here. He says, don't send them away. You can give them something to eat. This is for you to figure out. It seems absolutely crazy. Even if they had 1,000 boxes of Kraft dinner, they couldn't boil it up and feed all those people in that time, right? And it's financially impossible too. We're told that the disciples were pulling out their hair wondering how they were even going to pay for all this. But God often asks us to do things that seem impossible. Why? To ignite within us a concern. And to spark within us faith, because as the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here at Trinity, we got lots of ministry needs. We've got lots of ministry opportunities. It can actually also seem overwhelming, like the disciples. But if everyone, If everyone takes some responsibility, if everyone finds something that concerns them, if everyone has a little bit of faith, then we too will see God work miracles here in our midst. But here's the problem. So many times in our life when we see a need, we have these excuses. The first excuse is that we procrastinate, right? Did you notice that the disciples didn't even begin to try to solve this problem until evening approached? Come on, they knew there was a problem looming, right? What were they waiting for? Did they think it was just gonna go away? Were they hoping that, you know, it was just gonna disappear? I wonder if in your own life there's a difficult situation that you're facing and you are just putting off dealing with it. Oh, someday. Someday I'll get around to it. Someday I'll deal with it. Even here at Trinity, you can go across the hall after the service and you'll see all these ministry opportunities and you'll say, someday. Someday I'll volunteer. Not today. Not today, but someday I will, right? Procrastinating never solves any of our problems. But the disciples, they also had this other excuse, and that is they pass the buck. They say, send the crowds away. It's not our fault that they came out here into the middle of nowhere to listen to Jesus. That's on them. That's not on us. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else volunteer. It's not our responsibility. Or we say, it's not our problem. Or we even say, it's not our business. But whenever there is need in the world, whenever people are suffering, for Christians, it's their business. It's our business. And the third excuse that kind of comes up here is they panic, right? That would take more than, how many years' wages would that take? And they start to get anxious. You can just feel the temperature going up. How are we gonna do this? How are we gonna organize this? Wait, do we need a health permit to serve this much food? Peter, have you had your safe food handling course? Do you know how to do this? Do we have to contact the health department and have our kitchen inspected? They are panicking. Now, the funny thing about all this is while they're panicking and while they're freaking out, who is standing right beside them? Jesus. Jesus, the one who could snap his fingers and have manna fall from heaven, but they seem to have forgotten all that. So now if you are faced with a problem that you cannot solve, remember, first step is admit that you have need. And then secondly, don't pass the buck, don't procrastinate, don't panic, but take some responsibility. And once you've done that, then thirdly, what that means is you can start to do what you can do. We may not feel like we've got the resources or the abilities to solve the problems that we are facing, but God waits to see what we will do with what little we have. In this story, the disciples go out on a reconnaissance mission into the crowd, and they come back with a little boy. And this little boy, this is in John's version of the story, this little boy actually becomes the hero of the story. And why is that? It's because he did what he could. He, first of all, this little boy, he gave what he had. He's only got a couple fish. He's only got, you know, 5 loaves of bread. And apparently, we're supposed to believe, apparently, he was the only one in the crowd that day who had some food with them. Police. Nobody goes on a journey like that without packing a bit of a lunch for themselves. I guarantee you, there were lots of people in the crowd that day with picnic baskets shoved under their robes. No, the little boy wasn't the only one with food. He was the only one who was willing to give what he had, right? And it wasn't a lot, mind you, but never underestimate what God can do when ordinary people give what they have. I think the second thing you can deduce from this story is that he gave all that he had. Right? It wasn't like he said, well, I'll give you 10% of this fish. I'll give you a tenth of my loaf of bread. No, he gave all that he had. Jesus is looking for people not to find out the minimum amount that they can give, but to find out how much, how generously people can give. Have you ever made this kind of deal with God where you say, God, I will give you anything except this relationship? Or God, I will give you anything except my career. Or I'll give you anything, God, except my money. Or God, I'll give you everything except whatever this little thing is over here that I refuse to let you have. You can have everything else, God, but not this thing. I tell you, the little boy, he gave it all. He didn't hold anything back. Gave all that he had. And then I think you can also deduce from this story that not only did he give what he had and give all that he had, but he gave it immediately. He didn't wait around to see what else was going to happen. He didn't wait around to see if somebody else was going to stand up and solve the problem. He gave it right away. Remember, Jesus could have solved this problem with the snap of his fingers. But here is the mystery of the story. God always starts something miraculous in your life, or in my life, or in the life of this church. It always starts when we give what we have. And it might not seem like much to you. And you might not think that what you have to give will make any difference. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote a little bit about this later. He said, the important thing to remember, the important thing is to be willing to give as much as we can. This is what God accepts. And no one is asked to give what he has not got. Whether you got a little time or a lot of time, a little talent or a lot of talent, a little bit of finances or a lot of finances, a little bit of energy or a lot of energy, miracles happen. Changes happen when, and that little bit turns into a whole lot when we start giving God what we already have. So that brings us to the fourth point. If you can admit your need, and then if you can take responsibility, and then if you can do what you can, then finally we can expect a miracle. Because something amazing happens when you take what you have and you put it into Jesus' hands. That little bit becomes a whole lot. We read that, you know, Jesus gave thanks and he broke the loaves and they all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples then picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Whatever we put into God's hands, he multiplies. You might not have much time, but when you give your time to God, he multiplies the impact of that time. You might not have much talent, but you put it into God's hand, he multiplies the impact of that talent. You might not have much faith. There might be some of you here today who have very little faith. The Bible says if you've got faith, even the size of a mustard seed, and you put that into God's hand, then you can move mountains in your life. Trinity Streetsville can be a place where miracles happen and lives are changed and the kingdom comes and people experience healing and hope, but it only happens when we put what we have into God's hands. I tell you, this boy, he probably had some explaining to do when he got home that day because his mom sent him out the door with a couple fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he probably came home with armfuls of leftovers. And she was like, "Where did you get all that?" He says, "Well, it was amazing. I gave it to Jesus, and before you know it, I had way more than I brought." She's like, "You sit down, young man. You're not going anywhere until you tell me the truth." Or like Georgia, if I sent Georgia off to school for her lunch and I gave her a $10 bill, and then she came home and she had $500, and she'd say, "Dad, you wouldn't believe it. I gave my $10 bill to the cafeteria lady and she gave me back $500. I'd say, "Georgia, you better sit down here, young lady. We got to call the school. What on earth have you done?" Nobody is going to believe a story like that. But the truth is, and one of the principles of this whole story is that whenever you give to others, whenever you serve others, you always get back more than you gave. It's the old saying, you can't outgive God. And I know I'm on shaky ground here because there are a lot of those prosperity preachers out there who say, "Oh, God blesses you so much when you bless others," or "God gives when you give." But there is some truth to it. I was talking to one of our volunteers here at Trinity who helps out from time to time in the kitchen serving coffee after the service. And she said, "Yeah, Rob, it's difficult. And yeah, it takes a little bit of extra effort. But listen, Rob, I get way more out of it than I put in. Because I get to meet all these people that I work with. And I get to develop friendships. And I get to have great conversations. And I get to see the smiles on people's faces after the service as they mingle and mix and they have something to drink and something to eat. Yeah, I get way more out than I put into it." And televangelists will say, hey, you give us $100, well, he'll give you $1 million. God will give you $1 million. This is not a pyramid scheme, right? But Jesus is saying, listen, there are blessings you don't know about when you give, when you volunteer, when you serve, you get back more than you could possibly give. So then, in your life, in my life, in the life of this church, how do we turn a little into a lot? How do we overcome the problems that we're facing this morning? The answer is this. First, admit your need to God. God, help. Simplest prayer you can pray. Admit your need. Secondly, take some responsibility. Develop some concern over what it is. This isn't somebody else's problem. This is your problem too. And then thirdly, do what you can. Even if you don't have much to give, give what you can. And then fourthly, we can expect a miracle, because when we put what we have into God's hands, it multiplies so much so that not only are others blessed, but we are too. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Trinity Sermons podcast today. I hope that you took some valuable lessons from what Rob has shared with us. Today's message was taken from the September 15th service at Trinity Church, Streetsville in Mississauga.